Father, as always, I thank you in Jesus' name. This morning, this afternoon, where your people are, let the light of your word come into our minds, our hearts, our spirits. Shine in us, Lord, through your word. Give encouragement in the name of Jesus. Also, understanding. Let that be ours today as we gaze into your word. As we share with one another, we give you, Lord, praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, blessings in disguise and through it all. You know, right away, when you think of that, the things that come to mind, many stories in the Bible, we'll just talk about one or two. And then we'll talk about, you know, things in our own lives. You know, and from the topic, well, you can tell right away that there are times that something, we may be going through something that we don't understand at the moment. You know, but, you know, when you look back, it could be after a while or a long while, then you realize that, wow, you know, that was just a blessing that it happened that way. Well, at the time, didn't look exactly like a blessing. It didn't feel good, didn't feel right. You know, but at the end of the day, you look back and you found out, wow. And the first scripture that comes to mind is Romans 8 and 28. And it says, you know, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's right. Those who are the called according to his eternal purpose, you know, those that love God. So that's the first thing that we must realize. If you truly love the Lord, all things will eventually work out together for your good. Now, as I often say, whenever time I read this verse, it's like, this is not exactly, you know, for those that God loves. That's not what it says. Let me call our attention to that again. All things work together for good to those that love God. Not exactly to those that God loves, but God loves everybody. And all things don't always work out for good for everybody. But if you love the Lord, which is the first and great commandment anyhow, then, you know, all things will eventually work out for your good. And I've had opportunity to have used this scripture many times. You know, and I did, by the grace of God. When I've been in situations, and I say, well, may not understand it, but I know, Lord, that this is what the scripture says, and I love you in my heart. So I know somehow it's going to come out, you know, for my good at the end. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Proverbs 34 and verse 19. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And sometimes we go through many things which we don't understand. But as we go through life, I want us to remember. And this is not anything that you haven't heard before. It's just a reminder today. That some of the things that we may be going through, you know, God may be allowing them just to press us into more accurate shape, what he wants us to be. You know, sometimes, you know, we got to go through those things. The trial of your faith, the Bible says, strengthens us. There are many lessons in the Bible. You know the story. One of my favorite characters in that Bible, I've told his story many, many times. Even the last couple of days, I told his stories again, Joseph. You know, all that befell him, you know, and all of the things that happened to him, and all of the evil that happened to him from the time that he was a youth and up, you know, and one thing or the other, one bad thing or the other just kept happening to him. You know the story, so I'm not going to tell all the story. But, you know, many of those things that happened to him, in fact, all of the things that happened to him, eventually worked out for his good. It didn't look like it at the time. It didn't feel like it. It didn't look like it. But you will remember the message on you know, providence and destiny. God's providence was guiding him even through all those things that happened to him. And all of the trouble that came upon him from his brothers, from when he was taken to Egypt, cast into prison, and all of that, you know, it was all a blessing in disguise, especially even towards the end, you know, when things started to go from bad to worse. And it's bad enough to be carried away from your father to many, many miles into a far country where you know nobody. And then at least you had your freedom to walk around. You were in the, you know, in somebody's house and estate, and they gave you, favor to do things and move around. And the next thing you know, you end up in prison for a crime that you did not commit, and on and on and on. But the prison part, especially, was a package that God put there, you know, to bring out a blessing. It was in disguise. Little would he have known that going to that prison would give him the opportunity to meet the baker and the butler from Pharaoh's house that were sent to prison at the same time that he was there. And while languishing in that prison for some time, of course, God's favor was still upon him. And through his interaction with these people, especially the butler, you know, it gave him an opportunity in the future, even though the butler even forgot about him for 2 years, but everything was just right. I mean, if the butler had remembered him, even when he got out of prison and talked to Pharaoh and said, you know, I met a man that did this and this and so forth. Can you have mercy on him and grant him some amnesty or whatever, you know? Or pardon him, then Pharaoh might not have had a reason to do that. He didn't, you know, just wouldn't have had a reason. I mean, why should he grant him the man? You probably say, well, the man is in there for a crime, so let him serve his time. You know, and just probably would nothing might have happened. But God orchestrated in a way all that extra time and pain and suffering and loneliness that Joseph felt in the prison was packaged just right. And it came to a time that one day that Pharaoh dreamt a dream which nobody could figure out. And this butler was right there. And so finally he remembered. He said, my goodness, I know and I remember my fault this day. It was this young man. And I was in prison. He dreamt this dream. And it happened to me like he did. Like he said, happened to the other guy, like he said. You remember when you cast us into prison, when you were angry with us. This man, I know. You know, he can interpret the dream. And from there, you know the rest of the story. All of that just for that one moment. There was one moment where Joseph would stand before Pharaoh. And that was it. And all that trouble, all the things that happened to him, you know, it was really a blessing in disguise. Because he would never have had that opportunity to stand before Pharaoh, you know, if he hadn't met that butler and all of that. And you know all the story. And before that, all the things that happened to him was like a trickle, you know, just a series of chain events that just one thing led to another, one thing led to another, one thing led to another. They were all bad things. But at the end of it, see what a blessing came out. And not only did Pharaoh promote him, because of not only, it wasn't just his interpretation, it was the wise counsel that he gave. And Pharaoh said that we can't find anybody else as discreet as this. Why look any further? You are the man. Hallelujah. And he put him right there and he put his signet on it. And that was it. And Joseph was able to save Egypt and save his own family and save almost the world at that time too. You know, and all the problems finally led so into that great, tremendous blessing. And so, you know, And you know that Joseph had his dreams at the beginning of how he would be great and so on, greater than his family and his brethren. But when he was going through, didn't look anything like it at all. But it was all a blessing in disguise. And sometimes God will allow some things to happen, which may be a blessing in disguise. And we may not know it. And sometimes he may tell you, he may give you a little insight. We learned the story of, it's another good one here. Nothing quite as good as this Joseph story, but, you know. And of course, Joseph, you know, you can read Genesis chapter 37 and then chapters 39 through 50. Clear on through there, that whole story. There was another story in the case of Elijah. Elijah, you might know the story as well, which I've referred to from time to time in this room in 1 Kings 17. After Elijah called for the farmer and God sent him to the brook, and, you know, God allowed the ravens to bring him food, you know, morning and evening. But after some time, because there was no rain, then the brook got dried up. You know, now the brook drying up was a hardship to the prophet because, you know, I mean, God was sending him food. He was able to drink from the brook and everything was good. And then all of a sudden everything dried up. And when it all dried up, I mean, that was a hardship at the time for him because he was trusting the word of the Lord. But the Lord had something in mind that he didn't know anything about until God told him part of it. And the Lord said, look, you know, I have prepared a widow woman to sustain you. Now, not just this dry bread and thing that this raven's bringing you, but, you know, you're going to have a place to stay. You're not going to have to live, you know, on the ground here by the water. You're going to have a place to stay. This woman will sustain you for many, you know, a long time. He didn't know anything about it, but God's making the brook to dry. And I wanted to particularly call that out. That drying up of the brook. Sometimes God will allow that to happen for you and around you and in your situation, you know, in order for something else to happen. Now, be a blessing in disguise. And it was most certainly for the woman anyway. The widow of Zarephath, it was definitely a blessing for her. A lot of hardships all around everywhere. Elijah's hardship of the brook drying up was actually turned out to be not only a blessing for Elijah, it was a two for one. God was going to bless Elijah through the woman, but God was going to bless the woman as well. And it didn't quite look as if God had any plan to bless the woman. It looked as if God was just looking out for Elijah. But that's what God said. You know, I've prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. He didn't say anything about what Elijah would do for the woman. You know, and that's God. He can give you a little piece, a little here and there. Doesn't always tell you everything. But first, Elijah had to bless the woman in order for the woman to bless him. By the word of the Lord that he said to her, you know, the barrel of meal shall not waste and the cruse of oil shall not fail. That blessing, that's what Elijah himself enjoyed later on. You know, and I can go on and on, but I'm going to leave it right there. I want you to think about it. There are stories and experiences in our own lives. And I want you to cast your mind back and see so that now, you know, you may be going through again. Remember how there was a time when something happened, some major disappointment. But then, you know, maybe after some months or even years, you figure out that, wow, I'm glad that happened that way at the time. Well, nobody is ever glad during the time that it's happening. You know, we just have to trust the Lord enough to know these things, to know that it will all work out for my good because I love the Lord. And he's, you know, that's his word. I hold on to it. Now, one other thing to think about in Romans 8:28 is, listen, if you use that scripture to calm yourself down, then God will actually be able to get through to you. You know, because when we are panicking, when we are running crazy and everything, like a, you know, chicken with the head cut off and all that, you're not likely to be able to hear from God. But when you calm yourself down, you know, when things, you know, when things, you know, just blow up in your face, I mean, you are really trusting God for something, you expect it this way and that way, and then the exact opposite happens. Calm yourself down with the scripture. When you calm yourself down, he'll be able to get through to you. That's when you'll be able to hear that small, still small voice. He'll be able to tell you and give you further instructions. He may not explain it all to you immediately, but he'll be able to guide you with instructions. But when you are all wired up and everything, all riled up and all that, you won't be able to hear anything that God is trying to say through that situation. But through this situation, let's learn to trust in him. Let's learn to trust in the Lord. You know, I did a lesson a few weeks ago, maybe a couple weeks or so ago. I said, well, when God is in the situation, it's not over yet. It may look like opposite to what you are believing, but it's not over yet. Many scriptures of encouragement bear this out, but we've already talked about many of those things from time to time. Today, I want to focus more on examples, even in our own direct lives, of how God can use situations that look like they are completely opposite and then bring them right back around. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, let me just share this with us. And I'm going to tell you my own one testimony, but let me share this with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, just going to read a couple of verses there about the trial of your faith. You know, so let's read it from verse 5. Verses 6 and 7 is really where I'm going. So, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, no, I said I was going to read from verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Well, it's almost, even though he's saying something else, you can also see from that, that look, salvation is coming to you, you know, even though it may be seem like it's the last minute. Remember the lessons on God always has one more move, you know. And so he said, look, wherein you greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials and testings. This is not necessarily negative temptations. This is not necessarily sinful things that we fall into. No, it's just trials of your faith is what he's talking about here. Because you will see it in verse 7. Said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, I mean, Peter is talking about some deeper things here, but it applies even to our everyday lives. The trial of your faith as you go through, you know, and he's comparing it to gold, you know, how gold is tried in the fire. Those precious metals, you can't find them on the surface. You got to dig, you know, mine sometimes for years before they find anything. And when they find it, eventually, it's all covered up with dirt and everything. It doesn't, you know, shine like it will eventually, you know. It's lackluster initially. But when they put it through the fire, burn all that dross out of it, Silver is refined that way. Gold is refined that way. Rare metals are refined that way. You know, and he's putting a parallel here that the trying of your faith is even more precious than those gold and rare metals. And so sometimes God will allow you to go through that, is what he's saying. You know, and we see also in the book of Psalm 105, let me read for you from verses, just a few verses there, you know. We've already talked about it, but this is how the psalmist summarized the things that Joseph went through. Let's read from Psalm 105 and verse 17. You know, talking about Joseph, you know, he said, look, when the Lord called a famine upon the land and broke the whole staff of bread, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, was laid in iron. Until, see, the time that the word of God came and the word of the Lord tried him. You know, so all of that was almost like the word of the Lord trying him through all that stuff. And then the king sent and loosed him and there made him Lord of all and everything. You know, my goodness. You know, so sometimes it's a trying that God allows and, you know, to press us into a more accurate shape. Now, remember, the Lord will not allow us to be tempted beyond our strength or tried beyond our strength. Now, the devil, there's a difference between the devil, the way he comes at us, and the way the Lord, you know, allows. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taking you, but as just is common to man, or even test or trial that we go through. But God is faithful. He won't suffer you to be tested or tried, you know, above what you are able to bear. But with the trial or temptation, we will make a way also that you may be able to bear it. Talking about testings, you know, the word temptation is used here, but it's not, don't think of it only in that way. Trial, testing, all of those things. The devil will tempt you at your weakest point. God will try you at your strong point. You see, God won't try you at your weak points because he doesn't want you to fail. The devil will come at you at your weak point because he wants to get you down. God will try you at your strong point to make you even stronger. You know, if you say, you know, I will, you know, I can do all things. I can do all these things and so forth through Christ who strengthens me. Then God will allow some things, you know, which you say, wow, you know, and then, but when you come out, you'll be even stronger. Hallelujah. You know, and God will, one time, a long time ago, I was speaking to somebody and they were complaining about, you know, all of the things that they were going through. And I said, well, it's one of two things. You know, it's either you don't understand your right in the Lord and how you can fend off some of these things, or, you know, congratulations because your strength is strong. I mean, because God will not give it to you if you couldn't handle it. And they looked at me funny, like, what do you mean? Well, I share this scripture. You know, if God allows you to go through it, then it means he knows that you can handle it. And that's why he wouldn't put you through it if you knew, because his design is not to make you fail. And if you could not go through it and he let you go into it and he knows you are not coming out of it, then that means he wanted you to fail. And God never does that. He doesn't send you into the storm. He sends you through the storm. Hallelujah. Because he already knows you. He can bring you out on the other side. He doesn't send you into the fire, or, you know, or into the floor. He sends you through the fire and through the floor. So we want us to all think about that when we are going through. Some years ago, a quick testimony, and then I'm going to turn it over for you to also share how these things have worked in your life. You know, I had I've had many of these scenarios. I'm going to just share one that's recent. Not too long ago, just a few years ago. You know, I had thought in my career as a technologist, you know, there was in my area of specialization, there was a company that, you know, you might say they're on top of the world. And there's a consulting group too. And I've always thought that, you know, I want to be, you know, before I retire, I want to join that company because it was kind of like an elite thing. They're kind of like, you know, you think of the special forces, they're an elite group and so forth. You know, this company was an elite group, a small group of consultants, and they were like top in my industry. And I knew some of them that were there. And I've always thought that, well, you know, I want to be in that place finally before I retire. So one day an opportunity came along. One of the most revered persons in my industry suddenly reached out to me, worked for that organization, and reached out to me and say, well, reach out to somebody, you know, to reach out to me, you know, reach out to their hiring and say, you know, get a hold of this guy. We want to have him, you know, and I thought that was the most flattering thing in the world. You know, everybody talks about, you know, your 15 minute of fame. I most certainly had mine because this was somebody I looked on, you know, up to. I mean, like, my goodness. And I'm like, why in the world? And I remember that, you know, well, we had met on some consulting gig sometime past, you know, and, I mean, he came in, you know, I mean, they were, you know, I mean, they were like the, look, gurus of gurus. Well, I came in from another side also. And there was some situation some years afterwards that this man reached out to me and said, well, you know, when we were on that gig, there was this thing you did. And can you remember how you did it? There was a similar situation they fell into. And I'm like, he calling me? My goodness. So, you know, well, I didn't quite remember. It took me some time to remember the solution. It was something trivial, but it caused tremendous impact in performance on the positive side. And then when I finally figured it out and I remembered and told him, I said, yes, you know, so thank me for it. And now, you know, that was just then. And then later on, when they, you know, I found out that might have influenced his decision to reach out to me. So I was so excited, wanted to go in. So I went in, you know, for the interview and everything. Well, actually, initially, I didn't even know it was an interview because the way they said it, I thought they were just going to come in and tell me the things. Because, you know, back in the days when I was doing consulting, I didn't interview too much, you know. People saw my resume, you know, they talked to me and I just, you know, go in there. So, but when I got in there, it was an interview, technical interview and so on. Well, I finished the interview and all that. And I was thinking, you know, but then later when we got to a point, I said, well, okay, so, you know, I know what I can do. You guys probably know what I can do. I mean, but what does the position pay? Because for me, it was all about money at that point. Yeah, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want anything else, but you pay me my dues. And I was disappointed that the rate wasn't, I mean, the salary wasn't even as great as I wanted. And it was an opportunity for me to join. It was something I've always wanted. Anyway, there were also some other things that happened. There were some questions they asked that tripped me up, which I wasn't expecting. And I don't think when I walked away from that place, I didn't think the interview went too well. You know, I thought I covered some of the technical things, but I don't think it went overall too well. And I was disappointed, you know. And I even said to myself that, well, I don't know that this will work out. Even before I give them a chance to whether they offer me the deal or not. So I left. And then later on, I was feeling a regret that why didn't I just wait and let them just make an offer or not? So anyway, I just didn't think that would happen. But fast forward many years, I was already in this place, this company that I'm working for now, you know, and I was thinking that I would leave and join those people. Well, fast forward not many years, maybe a couple years, because this wasn't even too long ago. I found out that that was a great thing that the Lord kept me from that, from going over there. I would have been miserable in that place. Because later on, I found out how they worked, and that would not have suited my style at all. I would have been miserable. It would not have worked, you know, and I stayed where I was, and I'm enjoying the job because I relate more, impact more people, able to help more people, and it goes with my thing better, you know, but I kept feeling a regret until the Lord made me realize that that thing was actually a blessing in disguise. Now, today I know it. At the time when I was feeling the regret, I didn't know it. Now, I just shrouded that story a bit because I didn't want to get too much into all the details. But you get the point. You know, the things that we go through in life that we regret. But later on, you'll find out that, wow, thank God it went that way. Because if it didn't go that way, you know, maybe it would have been something else. I've had more serious cases. This was just the latest one that I wanted to talk about. I've had more, even more serious situations, you know, in the past, way past. But I wanted to give this recent one. And I want to also hear from you, you know, your experiences. Let others hear and share. Maybe recent, maybe in time past, how that God's brought you through some experience or some situation, which at the time, it looked awful, disappointing, depressing, distressing, and everything. And later on, when you look back, my goodness, you say, wow, thank God that he didn't work the way that I was thinking. And thank God that it turned out the way it turned out. Because if it had gone the way that I was thinking, it would not have worked out. You know, so that's my short exhortation today, but I wanted to, you know, leave time for us to share your thoughts on this and give your own examples, and let's encourage one another. And some of you may even be going through right now. You may still be in that depressing, sad, distressing situation, but you will learn from all of this eventually that, look, all things will eventually work out for your good because you love the Lord and because you are the chosen of him. You are the called of him. That's the reason why things will work out, because God will orchestrate things. At the end of it, it will mastermind the devil. One way or another, the devil will play right into God's hands. You know, I mean, I can, if I was to take time, I can tell you 15 or more cases in my life, but I just want to leave that there just so that others can share. The Lord will always pull something out, no matter which way it's looking now. At the end of the day, it'll be for your good. You can trust the word of the Lord for that. At the end of the day, you may not see it right now because it doesn't look, I mean, nothing that is going on that's contrary at the moment is pleasant. But one way or another, through it all, at the end of it, you will find out that, my goodness, I thank you, Lord, for letting it play out that way. Because, you know, now, you know, when the dog pulls his scales, you know, he doesn't always pull the scales off our eyes in the beginning. But he'll let us pass through, because to God, the process many times, that's even more important. He already knows the end, but we don't know the end. So he will craft that process, guide you through it. And that's so, the process is so important to the Lord, because he wants us to pass through and gain some experience and gain character in the process. And be strengthened, and he presses us into a more accurate shape of what he wants us to be. And so that process is so precious to him. You know, he doesn't just take us from point A to point B. You know, no, it's the in-between that is so precious. That's what Jesus was disappointed about the disciples when he said, let us go over to the other side. It was from point A to point B. They were here, they entered into the boat. He said, let's go to the other side. Well, that's point B, you know. And so they could have just got to the other side. And Jesus already knew they would get to the other side. But what happened in between? It's what happens in between. That's the one, you know, that's more important. We know you're getting to the other side, but the disciple didn't think so. Because in between, all hell broke loose. Heavy storm, water coming into the boat. They're tossing up and down. They're like, they're going to capsize and they're going to perish and so on. You know, but, you know, Jesus was letting the process play out. That's what he wanted. He wanted the process to play out. He did not want to rebuke the storm. He did not want to even stop the storm. And he wasn't even going to do it. As far as he was concerned, he was just going to sleep through the storm because he had more confidence in the people than they had in him. You know, he actually had more confidence and he knew they could handle it. You know, but so that's why he was disappointed when they came and woke him up. Don't you care that we perish? Why are you sleeping at a time like this? And that's what we go through many times. Why? Where are you, Lord? Why didn't you show up? You know, why are you silent at this time? But the Lord said, wow, why is it that you have no faith? How come it is you are so fearful? I already told you that we're going to the other side. You should have latched on to that word. And he was disappointed. He rebuked not only the storm, he also rebuked the disciples. You know, so that process is so important. And let's hear from one another today what you're learning through that process. What have you learned through some of these processes? And what are you still learning? And maybe it'll help somebody that's still going through, that may have thought that God went on to sleep on them, or that God is nowhere to be found, and so on and so forth. And we just, you know, get crazy and lose our confidence. Whereas scripture says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And the confidence that we have in the Lord, that he is able, you know, to watch over his word. When he has said, let's go to the other side, you know, you must know that he will do it too. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. See, doing the will of God is that process. You might receive the promise. The promise is at the end. There's a process in between from where you are to get into that promise. You know, but, and that process is precious. God will guide you through it. So let's see, you know, let's trust him and let's encourage one another with these shares that you are about to hear. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. That's my portion. I will now yield it to those of you that want to share.